In Folge 12 der Ladeweile besuchen wir unseren Gast bei Sono Motors, ein junges Königreich in München, das ein E-Auto, E-Kutsche namens Sion entwickelt. Kein normales E-Auto, sondern ein E-Auto, das sich selbst über die Energie der Sonne auflädt. Wir haben eine Audienz bei dem französischen Sonnenkönig Mathieu Bautry, seines Zeichens Group Lead Solar bei Sono Motors. Mathieu blickt auf 20 Jahre Berufserfahrung in der PV-Entwicklung zurück und arbeitet mit Sono an einer Lösung, wie man das klassische Blechkleid durch PV-Elemente ersetzen kann. Die zwei Hofnarren Tobias und Lukas haben Fragen über Fragen und lauschen den weisen Worten der Majestät.
In einer Welt voller Batterien spielt das Laden eine wichtige Rolle, gerade bei Elektroautos. Und während das Auto an der Ladestation steckt, nutzen Tobias Wagner und Lukas Bobinger die Ladeweile und sprechen über die Höhen und Tiefen der Ladeinfrastruktur. Spannendes Fachwissen trifft auf geladene Gäste. Ein Podcast wie ein guter Ladestopp. So kurz wie möglich, so viel wie nötig.
Neue Folge, neue Woche, Ladeweile ist wieder am Start und diesmal die Frage, Tobi, wurdest du schon mal abgeschleppt?
Mit dem Elektroauto oder generell?
Ja, mit dem Elektroauto.
Also mit dem Elektroauto noch nie, tatsächlich mit meinem Verbrenner früher, der hat mal den Geist aufgegeben, aber ja. Elektroautos sind bisher, doch, tatsächlich meine Zoe, die hatte mal, als ich sie relativ frisch hatte, die hatte mal so ein paar Zicken und die hatte dann tatsächlich einen Garantiefall und wurde dann in die Werkstatt abgeschleppt. Aber ich habe es ihr verziehen, weil ich habe einen schönen Leihwagen bekommen, nämlich auch eine Zoe.
Oh lala, also dann habe, ich wollte schon jetzt halt angeben, dass ich dir dann was voraus habe, aber ich
erzähl, bin ja, was los?
Ich war stolzer Besitzer eines ID3 in Makena Türkis und an Tag 4 unserer großen Liebe, hat er mich im Stich gelassen, so sehr mit 5 oder 6 Fehlermeldungen, dass ich gar nicht mehr fahren konnte, abgeschleppt werden musste. Mein Volkswagen-Servicepartner, der da am Samstag notfallsmäßig unterwegs war, wusste gar nicht, was er tun soll. Und heute, wir nehmen am Montag auf, ist immer noch nicht klar, was mit dem Auto ist. Dementsprechend.
Wie ist deine emotionale Lage gerade? Feierst du noch quasi die erste Überführungsfahrt, die wirklich toll war? Oder hat es schon übergeleitet in eine negative Erfahrung?
Nee, ich bin immer noch sehr positiv tatsächlich. Das liegt aber auch daran, dass es irgendwie noch nicht die emotionale Bindung gab. Weißt du, ich glaube, das kommt mit der Zeit und dann hängt man dran. Jetzt war es eine kurze Bekanntschaft und dann vermisst man das auch noch nicht so. Aber natürlich hoffe ich, dass es in Zukunft ein bisschen verlässlicher wird.
Wir haben sogar extra bei der Übergabe gefragt, ob er die aktuellste Software hat und haben auch im Infodisplay nachgeschaut. Und der Verkäufer war auch ganz stolz, hier neueste Firmware, keine Probleme mehr.
Und, nee, war wohl nix.
Aber es ist wahrscheinlich ein lösbares Problem und ich glaube, ein paar Anfangsschwächen hat jedes Auto und es sei ihm verziehen. Es wird schon noch eine schöne Liebe zwischen euch beiden.
Ja, und was ich dann auch noch berichten kann, ich habe heute mit meiner Hausverwaltung telefoniert, um das Thema Ladeinfrastruktur zu Hause anzustoßen. Und ach, schau her, letzte Woche hat meine Hausverwaltung angefangen, das Thema als Pilotprojekt bei mir im Haus zu starten. Und jetzt bin ich da auf einmal mittendrin und nächste Woche ist auch schon Begehung mit einem Elektriker. Und die finden das super, dass sich jetzt auch noch gleichzeitig ein Eigentümer gefunden hat, der da mitmischen will.
Das heißt, die Hausverwaltung hat mehrere Objekte, die sie betreuen und wollen jetzt quasi in einem Objekt mal beginnen und du bist der Glückliche, der eine Ladestation bekommt.
Ja, es waren jetzt anscheinend nur glückliche Zufälle, dass jetzt genau in meinem Gebäude das Thema schon angestoßen wurde. Und ich bin da richtig gespannt, was da passiert. Da muss eine Machbarkeitsstudie von unseren Stadtwerken gemacht werden anscheinend. Und ich wechsle jetzt mal den Blick der, ich sage jetzt mal ganz frech, Industrie, in die Sicht des Kunden und schauen wir das jetzt mal von der anderen Seite mit an, was denn da so passieren muss.
Aber noch ist die Erfahrung ja besser als mit dem Elektroauto.
Das hast jetzt du gesagt. Ja, aber dieses Thema Laden, das ist ja eigentlich heute auch wieder so ein bisschen Thema, ne? Nicht nur so ein bisschen.
Ja, also wir wollen mal so ein bisschen über den Tellerrand hinausblicken, denn Ladeinfrastruktur denkt man immer, es gibt halt langsame Ladestationen, so wie wir sie bauen, und es gibt Schnellladestationen an der Autobahn. Aber grundsätzlich geht es ja im Endeffekt darum, wie kriegst du Strom in die Autos rein, um damit elektrisch deine Mobilität zu gewährleisten. Und da gibt es ja auch ganz neue Ansätze, und über genau so einen wollen wir uns heute mal unterhalten.
Das da bin ist ich ja, auch ein bisschen Thema, neidisch, ja, tatsächlich. Da bin ich insofern neidisch. Wir sind beide ein bisschen autoverrückt. Und du durftest schon mal einen Prototypen fahren. Habe ich das richtig noch in Erinnerung?
Also da musst du vielleicht noch erklären, von welchem Prototypen wir sprechen. Wir sprechen natürlich über das Thema Solarladen, also quasi Photovoltaikstrom in das Auto reinladen. Und da gibt es ja ein Startup hier in München, auch ein bisschen größer als wir, minimal größer, signifikant größer, aber die quasi ein Elektroauto entwickelt haben, das auch mit der Sonne gespeist werden kann, mit integrierten Solarzellen. Und ich durfte es tatsächlich im Olympiastadion, das glaube ich war 2018, wenn ich mich noch richtig erinnere, haben diese Probefahrten angeboten und ich durfte mit dem Sion damals noch in einem relativ frühen Stadium fahren und es hat große Freude bereitet.
Und es hat offensichtlich besser funktioniert als mit meinem Volkswagen ID.3, weil der Sion, der läuft auch noch an Tag 5, 6 und jetzt sind doch nochmal 2 Jahre vergangen heute. Der
läuft anscheinend. Ich habe vor kurzem gehört, dass sie jetzt die aktuellen Prototypen quasi in Ruhestand geschickt haben, weil es jetzt die neuen Prototypen gibt. Aber die haben auch ordentlich Strecke gemacht bei den ganzen Probefahrten. Und damals gab es noch den weißen und den schwarzen. Ich glaube, mittlerweile gibt es nur noch die Farbe schwarz. Es war schon ein cooles Erlebnis, da das mal hautnah mitzuerleben. War auch professionell organisiert. Da hast du ein Ticket bekommen und einen Slot, wann du kommen durftest. Und damals tatsächlich waren auch alle Gründer sogar vor Ort. Also das war wirklich Startup-Vibes at its best. Das war ein cooles Gefühl.
Und ich glaube, wir steuern heute auch eine ganz spezielle Ladestation an, weil unser Aquädukt hängt ja auch bei Sono an der Tür, oder?
Ja, das, also bin ich, freut mich persönlich auch. Stolz drauf. Genau, also freut mich total, dass es irgendwie geklappt hat. Das war damals auch zeitlich sehr gut. Irgendwie Sono wollte für die Mitarbeiter auch Ladepunkte aufbauen und dann kamen wir um die Ecke und haben gesagt, hey, wir haben da was für euch. Und das hat dann relativ unkompliziert, wie es im Startup bekannt ist, auch geklappt. Und wir haben da, ich glaube, insgesamt 6 Ladepunkte an die Wand gedübelt. Und freut mich in vielerlei Hinsicht, dass es geklappt hat. Und ja, wir beobachten das natürlich ganz, ganz spannend. Und da sind wir nämlich auch heute.
Ja, ich wollte gerade sagen, du hast ja schon angesprochen, Mitarbeiter von Sono Motors und da treffen wir heute einen ganz speziellen und noch einen kleinen Disclaimer vorab, wir reden ab jetzt dann in Englisch, glaube ich, das muss man auch noch kurz dazu sagen, denn da vorne treffen wir und wir sehen ihn auch schon, we can see him already, we have Mathieu from Sono Motors. Hi Mathieu.
Hey Lukas, hey Tobias, good to have you here, how are you doing?
Hi Mathieu. Nice to meet you. Yeah, we're fine. We have a charging station in front of us, so everything couldn't be better.
We have a well-known charging station in front of us, so we have time today to talk because the aqueduct isn't the fastest charging system.
Perfect. Cool. Yeah, Mathieu, Lukas introduced you as an employee at Sono Motors, but you're not a normal employee. You're like a pretty relevant person for the future of the company, but maybe we just hand over to you so you can introduce yourself, because some have heard of you but some not, so we are pretty curious.
Yeah, so cool to have you here. So yeah, as you said, my name is Mathieu, and here at Sono Motors I'm leading the team developing the solar integration on our vehicle. So quite a normal employee, just leading the solar integration.
So now the best question of all already to begin with, is your job the enemy of our charging system?
Absolutely not. I mean, our solar system, yes, provide energy to the car, but we will still need charging station. And there is a lot of cars out there. And even if all car would be with solar integration, we would need a lot of charging stations. So I would rather say we are in a good complementarity and we are not definitely aiming to kill any kind of company like ChargeX or other company doing charging station. Not at all.
This is great. This is great. But before we make a deep dive on the Sion and the solar technology, we have a classic question for our guests. Which car do you drive?
Okay. I do have a car, but I do not drive it that much. I have an old Renault van that I'm using only for holidays when I want to go off-grid and just do camping somewhere. But most of the time, actually, I'm driving a bike. So I'm biking, better said. I'm moving everywhere by bike, train and bike as much as I can. And actually, I'm also targeting to do more kilometer by bike than with my car every year. So,
okay, that's great. Especially in Munich, I guess there's no need for driving a car, as I guess you're also living here in Munich. So,
But I'm living in Munich, and now definitely you can live without a car in Munich, and also you can travel without a car, just making train and bike, and that's also working super good.
But yeah, your holiday vacation, like the camping, is like a brilliant bridge to the Xeon, as it's like one of the use cases, I guess, for using this car as a mobile battery for other devices. But before, like Lucas described it, we would like to know a bit more in detail. So maybe you can just introduce yourself, how it came to your job at Sono Motors, and how you came to the solar industry itself.
Mm-hmm. So I started in the solar industry around almost 20 years ago. And where did I come to this industry? Actually, it started during my engineering school. I had my first introduction to photovoltaics. And I must say, I always remember this lesson from Professor Logier, that was my professor at that time, when he explained that solar cells, just gathering light, can generate energy. No mechanical part, nothing in movement, no noise, no gas, nothing. And I was like, oh my God. I mean, I was more aiming to go into the microelectronic, microprocessor design, and I completely switched. I said, okay, this is what I want to do, definitely. I found that so interesting, so magic somehow. And then Sono Motors. So Sono Motors is a bit longer story. I'm at Sono Motors for 3 years now, a bit more actually. But it all started when I was still in my previous job. Before that, I was in France working and leading a research laboratory. I was then a lab manager, and this is normally with a mandate that goes for a given amount of time. I was very close to the end of my mandate, and funny story, I had to do a study for a car manufacturer about the potential of solar energy on vehicles. And I did this study, and then I found that really interesting. Like, hey, I mean, you can really generate energy and do something with that. But this car manufacturer was also selling charging station, and they say, no, we don't want the car to charge itself. That's not the business we want. But then I was very curious, and I started like to have, you know, automatic RSS feed on my browser, and just to have automatic news. And I received in August 2017 a newsletter of a company making a solar vehicle and starting test drive in Munich. And fun story, my wife is from Munich, so that was also one of the options, why not to move to Germany. Then I contacted them, and actually I just wrote them to say, hey, fantastic job, I love it. And it was from my private email. But it seems the HR looked at my name, found my name somewhere, and the answer was directly, hey, are you looking for a job? And then basically it went very fast. We had the interview 1 month after, 2 months after we had the contract, and 4 months after I was joining Sono Motors at Munich.
Pretty agile, yeah. But can you actually name the car manufacturer you did the study for?
No, that would not be fair.
This is quite a good story. Well, now you have a happy wife, happy life, and working for Sono Motors. So now you're happy in Bavaria. It sounds really good. You already said or started talking about Sono Motors. Can you describe your daily workday? I don't know if you have a daily workday, but can you describe what are you doing at Sono especially?
So myself, I'm leading, the team developing the solar integration. And as you may be seeing, there is not a lot of vehicle with a solar integration on the full vehicle outside. You get it on the roof, on some car manufacturer. But at the moment you want to have it everywhere, we had to create a new technology from scratch to be able to have photovoltaic on the doors, on the hood, etc. But not only what you see from the outside, but also the inside. There is a specific power electronic. There is also how you integrate photovoltaic to the electrical architecture of the vehicle. And this is basically what I'm doing, and now with my team, developing all this complete solution to really have photovoltaic everywhere, how to manufacture it, and then how to integrate that into the vehicle at the end, and to make sure it's working good, it's working safely, that the vehicle is still a car homologated for crash and safety, etc., etc. So we are basically developing a new component and at the same time doing the full process of every new component on the automotive industry, meaning every type of reliability testing, homologation, and then we're obviously testing different generation. As Tobias mentioned before, we had our second generation of prototype very recently, so we perform new tests, and we will go through further optimization. So this is basically my daily job.
Great to hear. So how was the transition for you for moving from the normal solar industry to the automotive industry? Because I guess you have just different tasks, for example, weight or space, which are way more limited in a car. So how was this for you? Was it easy or was it just totally different?
That point was not so complicated. I've always been working in very specific photovoltaic. So not the photovoltaic module you see on roof on houses normally. So this is a constraint I had a lot, also, by example, when working with the space industry, where I developed some photovoltaic modules, so very similar. The main difference, I would say, was I think I was not aware about the complexity of a car. And I think this is something you can never imagine when you just buy a car. Because when you start looking at, into the detail, and I'm not talking about repairing, I'm talking about developing a car. There is many things you could never imagine. And there is one thing I always like to mention. You cannot imagine how complicated are doors. Doors are extremely complicated to design. I mean, a door is a small space and you get so many things inside. I mean, you need to have space for the glass when you just, you know, put the window down. You get all the switches, you get the mechanical stiffness for the crash, you get many cables, you get then the shape of the door, I mean, to be open mechanically to work well over 15 years. And that was like, oh my God, I mean, you're just opening a door normally, you know, it's just like super easy. When you start looking inside, it's just like crazy. And that was some of this kind I would say surprise moment I had a lot at the beginning, like, wow, yeah, definitely a vehicle is a lot more complicated what you think when you just buy it and drive it, definitely.
So does this experience have changed your view on cars? So where does your heart rate go up? On specific solar panels, like the body parts of the car, or do you now have a favor for cars in total?
I've never been a big fan of car, although in my family, I got many uncles having being mechanics and repairing cars. So I spent a lot of time in mechanic workshop when I was young and just mounting and unmounting. Yeah, most of the time at the beginning, unmounting without being able to mount it again. But okay, that was a lot of fun. But in cars in general, what I found really interesting, it's more the efficiency concept of vehicle, whatever the kind of vehicle, I mean, being gas motors or electric motors, and design. I really love design. I think design of cars is something I really like to follow, how design change, I mean, along the years, and how the trends are moving, how sometimes you see, you know, a car in a very futuristic movie, and then a few years after, you start to have similar design on the street. So this kind of thing are the thing like driving me more into cars.
But I guess you have the perfect DNA for the company itself, because they are just seeing the car differently. It's not just the car you buy, but it's just a new way of living. It should help you. It should generate energy for you. It's all about sharing. I guess listening to your words, it's a perfect fit to the company itself. I guess you fit very well to the DNA of the company.
Yeah, no, actually, as you mentioned, this is a complete different vehicle. I mean, it's not only a car, but it's a car trying to tackle the three main problems of electric mobility, the range, and then thanks to the solar, we can increase the range. Charging infrastructure, again, thanks to solar, I mean, we help on that. We are not substituting it, no worries, but we contribute to it. And then the price through... the possibility of sharing your vehicle, sharing your power, and having some money out of it, meaning at the end decreasing the cost of ownership of the vehicle for the owner of the vehicle, which is something normally you do not have on a regular car. On a regular car, you buy it, and then you just have problems and cost. But on this one, you can also have incomes of money if you're sharing the car, sharing a ride, or sharing power.
I don't know what you're talking about. Problems? My ID3 is running fine, so no issues there.
But maybe, Mathieu, before we talk about some data of the car, because it's super interesting about the solar integration, how was your first impression about the car? Was it obvious for you that it will work out? Or were some kind of suspicious and needed to take a further look at the technical approach of Sono Motors? How was your first gut feeling about the car when you seen it?
So when I arrived, first time I've seen the car was 2017, actually. I've seen the car and it was like, that's a nice prototype or a nice proof of concept, but the integration of solar was definitely not what I call integrated, meaning that was still a conventional body panel and photovoltaic panel glued on top. So in terms of design and integration, there were a lot to do, and cool, because this is actually one of the points I like the most on the vehicle, working on aesthetics. And then there was this double challenge, working on aesthetics but still integrating solar, making that efficient, but still I was always convinced, as I mentioned, since this study I did for another car company, that definitely there is something to do. And that was like, hey, there is a lot to do, and this is exactly why I want to join this company. There is a lot to do on many aspects I want to tackle. And yeah, that was like seeing a big challenge, but that's probably the main reason why I said, yes, I want to join.
So we have talked it now a lot of the Sion. I think it's now time for some figures and facts. I think you have already talked about it a lot, but perhaps you can give us the most important figures.
So if we talk about solar, thanks to the solar integration everywhere on the car, we can generate, in average, 112 kilometers a week. And this is for Munich. Obviously, if you go to other countries with more sun, you will have a lot more. And this is already a big number if you compare on the average commute of people in Germany. People in Germany are commuting an average of 15, 16 kilometers per day, which means that you can cover almost all the daily commute just with the solar. Then obviously you will need a charging station if you want to do big travel on the weekend or every weekend. But talking about your daily commute, you can cover almost everything from solar.
No, that's definitely a game changer, because people, normally it's idle time, the car is not getting used, it's just inefficient time, and now they want to park the car outside as it has some benefits for them. And we are used to this daily driving behavior, as we use the same arguments when building up charging infrastructure, that the amount of energy you need every day is actually not that much. It's just the peak need you have some order once a year, and that's definitely not what we should target at, but more about the 80%, and I guess that's also the approach about the solar cells.
Lucas?
You said in an average day, do you also keep track of the summer and winter months? Is this already included in an average view on the point? Because maybe you have already seen it. In Munich, we have a lot of fog in the winter times. So there's, I don't see any sun from November to February, more or less. Is this already calculated in the figure of 112 kilometers a week?
Yeah, actually, this number comes from a model we had developed, but this model is based on a real meteorological database. So to generate this average, we are taking every single day of the year. And in this database, we get all the meteorological conditions for every single day the last 10 years in Munich.
Oh, correct.
So it's also considering that some days you get bad weather, or let's say less light, which means less power, but does not mean zero. I mean, even if you got a cloudy day, actually your car is generating energy. And this is actually when you see the advantage of having solar on the doors. By example, on a cloudy day, you can see it. I mean, the light is coming from everywhere. It's completely diffused. and suddenly not having only the roof but the doors, and the doors generate the same energy as will be the roof, and you basically on the worst day, thanks of to having to have this integration everywhere, you basically increase your range in the worst condition thanks to this complete solar integration. Yeah.
You're always talking from Munich because you're based there and this is a good average, but what is the maximum of charging you can think of? For example, living in the south of France, where you have sunny all year long, with which number can the guys calculate in Monaco, for example?
Monaco, I don't get it in mind. I could open it, but we will lose some time. But I get another country in mind. We can take Lisbon, Portugal.
Yeah.
And in Lisbon, by example, you get an average of 140 kilometers per week. And in summer, you can go up to 39 kilometers per day.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So that starts to be quite a big number, yeah.
Yeah, and what's on the other side of the planet? So if you go more to the north, is there like a minimum of range you can guarantee everywhere, or is it really getting close to zero if you have the worst conditions?
So I don't get the exact numbers in mind, but this is exactly also why we want to have photovoltaic on the doors. Because if you go north also, it's not only about the weather condition, but it's also the sun. The sun is not so high on the sky. Meaning that actually, if you go to Finland, by example, the doors will generate more kilometers than the roof because the sun is not so high in the sky. So this is where it's important to have photovoltaic everywhere and not only on the roof. Like the roof will be extremely efficient in South Europe, but then the doors and the hood will generate more energy in North Europe. And to have a vehicle like working everywhere and not only in South Europe or North Europe, then this is why we have this concept of having photovoltaic absolutely on every part of the vehicle.
By integrating those solar cells, I guess you have two limitations. Is of course space or surface area, and of course the price. Could you integrate more power into the system, or is it like the limit you're willing to take?
No, actually, we get the maximum number of solar cells we can have on the car. As we had the chance to develop the photovoltaic, so the solar integration, and the car at the same time. Meaning that we have tuned the design of the car to optimize the number of solar cells. And sometimes we are really talking about few centimeters that can allow you to have an additional row of solar cells. On a roof, by example, few centimeters wider, just give you access to 13 solar cells extra, and 13 solar cells extra, it's, I need to make the number. it's like 65 kilowatt peak extra. So sometimes 1 centimeter extra on the part just can change completely the output. And this is what we did, and this is a big chance we had to design the vehicle and to make the solar integration at the same time, and not to retrofit an existing design, an existing vehicle with solar integration.
So at the beginning of the podcast, you talked about that you like the aesthetics and the design of a car. And now you're talking about the technical abilities in the body panels. And these two parts have to be combined. How hard are the discussions with your designer team or the guys who are in care of the design to say, hey, we need a centimeter more here and there to make it work more efficiently?
Maybe Mathieu is also head of design, we don't know.
No, I'm not head of design, no. I would say that was a very intensive learning process for everyone, because designers were never working on integrating solar, and I've never been working actually on designing a car. So we had a lot of discussion, we had a lot of misunderstandings, we had a lot of good understandings also, and we really had to work a lot on boundaries, what is possible, what is not possible, and then to evaluate also consequences. I mean, we went up to the point of evaluating technically and economically every solar cell on the car. I mean, really to the point saying, No, this solar cell here, yeah, we could have one, but it makes no sense. The solar cell is in a very bad position. This solar cell will never generate energy. So that's been a big learning process, yeah.
I have really no technical understanding, but in my, sometimes more is better. When I think about a car like the VW bus, which is more or less like a package on wheels, isn't this the ideal form for your project to maximize the solar PV panels?
It's the easiest one, but not the ideal one, because then you're talking about a vehicle, so you get aerodynamics, and a van, a Volkswagen, a Bulli, aerodynamics and efficiency of the powertrain, it's not the best one. So this is also something we had into account when designing the car, was integrating solar cells, making the car looking like a car and not being like a complete shoebox. But at the same time, trying to work on the aerodynamics and efficiency. So many parameters we had to put together. That was a huge job in 2018 to achieve this design at the end of 2018, making the best compromise out of all these different parameters.
But isn't that a pretty critical point? Because we know about 34 kilometers of range every day generated by the solar cells. But it's not only depending on your solar cells, it's also depending on the efficiency of how the car can use the energy. So in the end, do you already have like test data about the efficiency of the car?
So
or the aerodynamics?
Yeah, actually, as you mentioned, up to 34, 35 kilometers per day in Munich. Talking about the car and talking about aerodynamics, we have modeled it. I mean, this is what you do. It's quite common in the automotive industry. You first start on computer. And now as we get the second generation of prototype with the real shape of the car, the final one, then we will start to make some measurements on that. So real measurements to confirm and then to see where we can improve, where we need to improve, or where we are maybe better than expected, can happen also.
I can always see the internal fights that you say, no, it's the efficiency, no, it's the power of the solar cells. So that's going to be fun in the future, I guess.
Talking about the power of the solar cells, how do the solar cells on the Sion compare to solar cells we know from our roofs, for example? Do they differ in efficiency or is it more or less the same?
No, they are a lot more efficient, and the main reason is developing a car is a very long process, which means that we had to choose now, basically, the solar cells we want to have in production when we do the high volume and the series production of the car. But the photovoltaic industry is moving a lot faster. I mean, they are changing solar cells technology a lot faster than the automotive industry is changing let's say a car model or a given model, which means that now we have a very high power, but the photovoltaic industry will come with the same kind of solar cells probably in a few years or so. It's just we had to do the step before because we need to integrate them and to test them now to start production then later on.
Because in the meantime, other car manufacturers are hopping onto the train as well. Recently, Tesla Motors also announced, or like Elon mentioned, that he's also going to integrate them into the Cybertruck. So that's, I guess, a good proof for your business approach you had a few years ago already. So that's like the first mover advantage, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, if you look how people are using car, I mean, car are outside most of the time. I mean, even people having a garage and a home, I mean, a garden or whatever, they usually let the car outside till night and then they put it inside. Then in the cities, the car are massively outside. I mean, just look around you. There is a lot of cars everywhere, meaning that cars are unused and outside most of the time. And then if you combine that with the fact that photovoltaic, I mean, the price of photovoltaic went down so fast in the last years, I mean, just incredible. Then this is how we came to the concept and say today, I mean, integrating photovoltaic on a car is almost, it's a very small extra cost compared to the same vehicle without solar. But if you look at the energy, then it's just a lot of kilometers that you get for free. And this is, I think, why also other people are following. I mean, you can have it, you know, Hyundai Sonata, which is a plug-in hybrid. I mean, Toyota, they are definitely the pioneer of photovoltaic integrated on vehicles. I mean, they started with their concept for a Prius, at least on R&D, because I knew the people at Toyota at that time, like probably in 2012 already, they started to show things. And now more people are following. I mean, if you just follow, there is more and more people like starting to, let's say, dance with the idea of having a photovoltaic roof. And it's not only Tesla. I mean, it's not only us having the photovoltaic everywhere. There is other car manufacturer and more are coming. I mean, if you think that you get an electric vehicle, this is just a perfect platform. I mean,
at my old work, we had a first generation Leaf, and it has like a really, really small solar integration by the spoiler, and it just was for the, I guess, for the AC. But it already looked great. It was, from an aesthetics point of view, it was brilliant. And now seeing this on a whole car is definitely a game changer, I guess. So that would be great.
I have to say something. Now, Mathieu had achieved to make solar cells everywhere, but I really like the look and design of the white Sion with the black panels somehow. I don't know why, but it looked cool, like a little bit like Star Wars. So I liked it a lot. For I don't know why, I can't tell you.
Yeah, we know that comment. This is always a very big discussion. I must say, in general, you get like two big opinion. You get people like who wants to see the solar cells, whatever happens. So they like the white Xeon. Yeah. But then you get a very strong opinion completely the other way around, like people who do not want to see the solar cells. Yeah. And we actually went a bit in between. So it's difficult to see on video and on pictures.
Yeah.
But actually what you see on pictures is that it's fully black and you barely see the solar cells still. And I hope you will have the... we will see that very soon and we can show it. I mean, obviously I can do that. We get the vehicle. Mm-hmm. But at some angles, you see the solar cells like shining metallic blue. Mm-hmm. So it's like you normally, there is one few angles where you really see them like metallic blue with a black surface or black background. So I hope it's a good news for you, Lucas, but you will still see the solar cells, but not all the time. It depends on the light condition and the angle you get from you and the solar cells.
But perhaps this is something where the Xeon can stand out in future. I know when I look on old pictures of my dad, where he had a tuned Opel, which in such a flip-flop metallic paint job, which changing from angle to angle the color, perhaps it's something like this.
There's actually a movie about your dad, right?
Manta Manta, for sure. It's a classic German movie. Matthew, one idea I had about the solar panels. You talked about that you more or less created a completely new body part of a car. How difficult were the discussions with all safety institutions in Germany about crashing and the... I just know the German word, perhaps you already, the Passantenschutz, when you crash into persons, how difficult were the discussions there?
So everything about safety, so being passenger safety, people inside the car, or pedestrian protection, people outside the car, was not really a problem. And again, this is a chance we had because we were developing the car and the solar integration at the beginning. So we knew where we want to go and how we wanted to do the solar integration, meaning that we knew since the beginning that we had to, we needed a different concept of what we call the body frame. So all this mechanical structure you get inside the doors and everywhere to protect the passenger. So it's not a problem as long as you know it up front, because you can design the car, I mean, to work that way. And the same for the hood mainly. So this is a pedestrian protection.
Yeah,
it's the same. It was actually one of the biggest concern at the beginning. Pedestrian protection, the concept that the hood of a car cannot be too hard. Because when you hit someone on the legs, the head is hitting the hood, and then the hood must have some flexibility. And then we have designed the photovoltaic to have this flexibility to be sure that we don't have the problem. And again, this is a chance we had because we were all, everything, developing absolutely everything in parallel at the beginning. Yeah. So we had many inputs from everywhere and giving a lot of inputs.
How does the flexibility of the body parts behave in smaller incidents and accidents? Is it more, and the second step is, how can I repair it when the accident was too much for the solar panel? How does it behave?
So there is a different part to answer this question. So first, what we do is a car with full polymer body panel. Advantage of polymer, they are a bit more flexible. So I would say all the very small shock you get normally on a conventional car with metal body panels, normally on metal you get very fast, you know, like deformation, and then you really see that you were opening the door on a bollard or a pillar in a basement parking lot or whatever. On polymer you don't get that. It comes into the shape very fast. On top, the color is in the polymer, so you can scratch the door, but you cannot scratch the paint because there is no paint. The color is in the material itself. Then what happens if you really, have a bigger shock and, by example, break the solar cells first? The solar cells on the car are divided into different areas, meaning that if you break one solar cell, you will lose a small area on the car, a very small one, and everything else will still be working. Because you're breaking one solar cell on one side, you will not lose all the side of the photovoltaic solar integration. And then if you get a very big crash and you need to change it. It's difficult now to estimate the cost, but what we can explain is the process. Then you can make your own idea. That will be more the kind of process you get for a windshield, you know, like the car glass model, to name just a process and a company everyone knows. Normally, if you get a metal body panel, you need to go to the workshop. If you're lucky, they just need to remove the paint from a door. If you're not lucky, they will need to paint all the vehicle again. It takes a lot of manpower, a lot of hours, lot of time, and then it costs a lot of money because of this process. In our case, so we get all this repairability concept where you could even repair the car yourself. But let's imagine you don't want to, or you're not interested into. Well, basically, we will have a service network with a partner, and they will order the part for you. You will go there. You will have a cappuccino, and like your windshield, half an hour later, you go back home and everything is fine. So it's difficult to give a real comparison of the price, but just if you think how much it costs you to change your windshield and how much it costs you to repaint your door, that can give you a first idea.
So your estimation is also that the insurance doesn't necessarily be higher than a normal car with all the things you described.
This is a point we are actually talking with insurance at the moment. This is always a very long discussion. You need to provide them a lot of data, and then, the car. Insurance are normally linked to the price of a vehicle, and the car is not expensive as you know it. And insurance, in case of small damage, is mainly linked to the price of the part. And as it is not a very expensive vehicle, then the price of the part are not so expensive. So this is a discussion we are having with them. But first feeling is that it should not be higher just because of photovoltaic.
Mathieu, will there ever be a car by Sono Motors that doesn't have a solar integration?
Obviously not. This is our main target. We want to develop vehicle that can be shared and that are better for the environment, meaning that this vehicle could generate part of the energy directly cleaner without having to take energy from a grid where all the energy is not renewable.
So at the last presentation of the CN at the CES, I guess, we've seen some prototypes for the next generation of solar cells for other vehicles. So what do you think will be the next project after the CN that will be equipped with solar cells by you?
So Yeah, this technology we have developed, we really see a lot of potential, and actually this potential has been confirmed. I mean, we get today 7 LOIs, so LOIs, letter of interest, meaning companies that expressed their interest in looking at the possibility of integrating our technology into their vehicle. So 7 different companies from 7 different industries, automotive industry, trailer or transportation industry, and even the boat industry. The future for us, and we showed that at the CES, personally, I do believe a lot in trailers, because if you look outside, there is a lot of cooling trailer just to transport food. And normally, these trailers, they get a diesel motor just to generate electricity for the cooling unit. It's quite strange when you think of it. It's like very, I would say, old school model or technology. And here our idea would be to substitute this diesel motor by photovoltaic on the trailer. You just have photovoltaic everywhere. You could have a small buffer battery, and then you basically do not need this diesel motor just to generate electricity. And this is something I do believe will be the big next step.
Will it be the same brand? Or is it like a different department? Because actually we assume that Sono Motors is a car manufacturer, but it sounds more like a like an energy company.
It's still the same company, and at the moment there is only one company, and it's Sono Motors. It's a different business unit, but it's still the same company.
Okay.
And we are not competing in the trailer industry, so no problem.
Perfect. So I think we're coming to an end, Mathieu, and we don't want to waste your time there. We have invented the last few episodes, the idea of the week, and we don't have any. So, Toby, do you have some spontaneous idea of the week we can pitch to Mathieu?
If you ask me like that, it's difficult.
For sure.
But maybe asking the question to Mathieu. So, what other objects? Because we're still in this car or truck industry. Do you also think about different objects that could be equipped with solar cells that no one thinks about yet? Handing over this difficult question to someone else.
Thanks a lot, Tobias. No, okay. I can make the answer in two parts. First, as Sono Motors, we are targeting mobility in general and vehicles. So we are not looking to expand to other kind of object. Personally, as I'm a real geek of saving energy as much as I can, because I'm working in that for many years, you would be quite surprised of all the amount of energy you can save if you would just have some very small solar panel on your balcony, charging a power bank just to charge your smartphone. What I'm actually doing, I mean, the smartphone is always charged by the sun. And if you sum up the amount of energy, that's quite crazy. And then if you look what you get at home, there is so many small objects with battery you could power with a very small solar panel and just charging from outside, I mean, from the sun. At the end, you can really save energy. And then look outside, so many stuff consuming energy, where, I mean, if they are outside, they could have photovoltaic also. You could have photovoltaic on almost every object. Most of the time, it's just a matter of design, because then it's not looking as good. But in general, I do believe that every object outside consuming energy should contribute to energy generation and have some photovoltaic integrated.
I'm totally with you, but I need to show you something. So that's my recent project. You can see it there. But it's I drive an electric van, and a van looks even cooler if there's a surfboard on top. But I don't surf, and I have no clue how to do it. And that's why I'm currently integrating a solar cell into a surfboard. No one can see it, and has no use except for generating energy. So that's like one of the objects you're describing, I guess, because there's energy everywhere. You just need to use it.
I think, guys, it's getting too geeky here, and I don't want to get into it. All the solar guerrillas I'm talking here. So I think we make it. We're looking for a point here, and say thanks a lot, Mathieu, for your time. It was a pleasure to talk about solar and mobility combined in the Sion.
A way out. No, thank you so much, Mathieu, for your time. It was a pleasure to get some insights into this awesome project. And please keep us updated, and we're looking forward to seeing the Sion on the road. And until then, we wish you always some irons in the battery.
Yeah, thanks a lot to you. Have a good way back, and see you very soon, I hope. Bye-bye. Yeah.
Bye, Mathieu.
Mathieu, thanks.